Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Anand Ramakrishnan, who is the CEO of Opus Consulting. Anand, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
So I'm going to start out with what may seem like an obvious question, but I want to get your take on it. So if someone goes to your website, the first thing they see is the narrative about platform transformation. And we're in the platform business. We think platforms are exciting, complicated, difficult. Platform design is critical. Platform technology is critical. Platform ignition is critical. What do you mean when you say platform transformation? What do you do?
Thank you, Karen. First, to give you a little bit of background, you know, at Opus, when we talk about transformation, we talk about changing the underlying infrastructure for payments, right? Talk at the technologies, the processes, etc., that, you know, sit at the background of every payment transaction that needs to happen. When we talk about our platform transformation service line, we're talking about helping our customers using the new technology paradigms, you know, be it digital transformation, be it cloud, etc., using the new concepts that exist in technology to meet the needs of the payments business. The pay, you know, for example, you know, payments between, you know, I guess 10 years ago to now have gone through significant change. One, they're becoming more or less a need for real time. There are several channels for originating and completing a payment transaction. People in the payments business have adapted and have built technology to support it. However, their core back-end platform engine continues to be very much, you know, back-office-stayed, batch-type processing. And with all the technology changes that have come into play over the last 5-6 years, you know, with the advent of mobility and the like, there is a lot of new things that we need to do, right? One is, you know, the introduction of a lot of concept, you know, building microservices, building APIs, having a service-oriented architecture to support the infrastructure. So what we do with our customers is help them slowly evolve, instead of building something revolutionary, evolve their current platform, the old legacy platforms, to be more modern, to meet the needs of the, you know, the payment businesses of today, and hopefully, you know, our view of the payment businesses of tomorrow.
You make a good point that payments certainly has evolved in the last 6 decades, in some ways very slowly, in some ways very quickly. It used to be about one particular method of payment, you know, then multiple, and then as these different payment methods were added, you know, the platforms became very kludgy at some point, and I can see that there's obviously a requirement to try to pull that together using the new technologies that are available. But let's talk about one application of platform transformation, which I know is a big focus of yours, and that's retail payments. How do you think about that, and how are you using the methods that you just described to transform retail payments?
Okay. When we talk about retail payments, you know, and that's essentially, you know, payments in, you know, I would try to first restrict it to payments at a retail point of sale for, you know, as one small sliver of retail payments, right? Retail payments are fairly broad, but, you know, if I just take the retail interface, for example, where we have seen, you know, if you see the traditional POS devices, they are not very intelligent, and the experience for a customer isn't very helpful. Even today, if you go to a store which has even implemented the new terminals, they still have independent terminals from their retail fulfillment system, and it isn't very intuitive for the user to use it. So when we talk about using, is to use the concept of, you know, helping retailers, for example, leverage the power of, say, a cloud-based infrastructure to get newer customer experiences to the point of sale, right? You know, that's a big part of what we are doing with our customers. You know, it's not just about look and feel, but the entire process, it's integrated into into their purchasing. So from their shopping cart in case of e-commerce or at a physical point of sale, the POS experience is seamless with their retail experience. You know, it isn't like walking to a store, you do all your transaction and it says for your payment, go to another terminal and swipe your card and fulfill your transaction and it communicates with the retail POS. But this is a very integrated POS payment device. And it is, if you think about why they had kept it separately, because they wanted to keep the PCI data separate from the retail world. And there are much easier ways to do it than to have two separate devices that are talking to each other. And we believe that, you know, we can do using these newer concepts, if you will.
Got it. Would you categorize yourself as a payments as a service enabler? Is that sort of a category or a label that applies to what you do?
Yeah, so if you look at Opus, right, we had two very distinct divisions. One is we had a software product division which actually sold payment products, which we have now divested in the last 18 months to, you know, MasterCard acquired our products business. But we've evolved to being a pure services consulting play, right? As in, we are trying to be an advisor, but focused on payments. We're using our legacy around the whole product management and development experience we had on Elektra.
Got it. Okay, so what are you hearing from retailers? What is their pain point today? Therefore, what is their priority for transforming the legacy environment that really characterizes retail today?
Yeah. So if you think of today's world, bulk of the retailer spend on payments is currently going into regulatory compliance, right? You know, be it EMV, we went through a complete wave of PCI. Now they're going through a painful wave of EMV. They're doing it, but they're not seeing the value of it, right? And they're looking at it as an expense line as opposed to an investment line. And part of what we, when we talk to retailers, they're continuously talking about, can you help me figure out how I can drive my cost of payment down? Or even given that, you know, there are a lot of fixed costs, you know, try to help me figure out how this can be better, right? And a lot of what we are, you know, talking to them about is, you know, convert your regulatory compliance to a differentiator. For example, you're seeing a lot of people who have had, you know, data breaches and the like, and, you know, play that up when you're making the investments, you know, the right investments in your payments infrastructure, and use it as a differentiator when you talk to your customers, as well as improve their customer experience, right? You know, that's the two best things we can tell our retailers, and they you know, I think they're starting to understand our message, and it seems to be addressing some of their pain points, you know, if not all. You know, if given the choice, they probably will say, I don't want to have the liability of all, you know, the cost of all these things that are mandated by everybody else, you know, not in our industry.
Right. Now, I'm sympathetic. I mean, I think, you know, merchants just over the period of forever have always wanted to reduce the cost of payments. They'd love it to be free. That's obviously not possible. But I do empathize with respect to the investment that they're making in EMV, particularly when they do seem to really be focused now on how to increase the incremental sales by adding more value to the customer experience. And that's, of course, coming through mobile. So I am sympathetic to the plight today and the distraction that EMV has become for them, which I think we can all safely say doesn't really add a lot of value at the point of sale in the physical store these days. It's quite the opposite.
Absolutely. And it's taking more time, right? If you're using a physical card on an EMV terminal, it's taking a lot longer, which is annoying to the consumer and to the retailer. However, you know, one part of what we've seen is the uptake, at least people are very keen on how NFC can make their life a lot better. Right.
Right. It's all part of the plan. EMV makes the point of sale so miserable that we all want to hop to NFC mobile payments. All right. Another question. I mean, your background is interesting. So you're a banking guy. So you're a guy that spent a little bit of time anyway in business banking consulting. And I'm curious, how has that experience given you a perspective on what you're doing now for retail?
Sure. Even though I've been in the banking industry, consulting to the a good point being in the retail payment space, you know, I hop between doing corporate payments and cash management, et cetera, and, you know, working with banks on that and on those areas. And, you know, also looking at the cards and payment side of the banking industry. The good part is, you know, now that you understand both sides, the merchant side and the bank side, I think it's helped me give a perspective and, you know, at least help balance out the expectations of when we do engagements with our customers is to say, hey, you know, let's understand the other side. And having worked with the other side, I understand it, you know, quite well. And so we've been able to work nicely between the two and in have our offerings that, you know, are middle ground between the two constituents, if you will.
So final question, you referenced at the very beginning of our conversation this focus on real time and faster payments. And just so coincidentally, yesterday I was moderating a discussion on that very topic, which, you know, it sounds great, but expensive to reconfigure everyone's solutions around that in a either in a P2P or a B2B environment. And, you know, one can argue that on the merchant side, it's already pretty fast, pretty real time. Is there a play for faster payments in your world?
Well, you know, I believe so, right? You know, you look at the end of the day, in everybody, consumers, merchants, and everybody is looking for some sort of instant gratification. And if we take the example of the UK found that there was a need to do faster payments, and they've implemented a scheme where that they've been able to get to, you know, almost near real-time processing, and there's, you know, every constituent in the metrics seems to have benefited, you know, particularly from better liquidity management, better cash management, with having this near real-time infrastructure in place. You know, yes, ours is, in the US, it's a far more complex infrastructure, you know, and a lot more players to get on board. But I believe, you know, once it gets started, everybody is going to jump on seeing the benefits of what's happened in, you know, outside the U.S.
Well, it'll be interesting. I think it's a journey, and it's a journey that we're just starting. And I think part of the conundrum is you can make something real time, but only to a point. You know, systems are still batch and accounting systems are still batch. And so there's a lot of considerations, especially when you're in a country that has 13,000 financial institutions. It's kind of a hairball.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think there will be a point where we will have both real-time and offline systems for a long period of time. And, you know, people slowly migrate to the real-time side of it, right? And if you go back in history, a lot of why we had this batch type processing wasn't that we didn't want to do real time, it was just too expensive. Now technology exists that has made this thing far more reasonably priced. The cost of processing a payment real time is becoming cheaper and cheaper, right?
Yeah, no, that's for sure. Well, Anand, we could obviously talk for a lot longer, we will, but in another podcast. This has been a great introduction to you and what you're doing in the retail / merchant payment space. And we appreciate the opportunity to chat with you today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.